This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. With RJ Bell out, here's Bernie Fratto.
We never close here in Las Vegas, and neither does the staff here at Straight Out of Vegas. Slow season, surely you jest. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. The Kawhi sweepstakes are in. We're days away from the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. The NBA Summer League is underway. And, oh, yeah, World Cup Soccer final tomorrow. I could go on, but let's get down to business because we've got a packed show. We dive right in, and I want to switch gears tonight. Let's welcome in a gentleman who's a 10-year Major League Baseball veteran, a 25-year veteran of the broadcast booth and radio airwaves, including ESPN and the Detroit Tigers Radio Network, currently with Wake Forest Athletics. And with the All-Star Game just around the corner, we should note he retired 9 hitters in a row, including 4 Hall of Famers in the 1978 All-Star Game. Let's say hello to Larry Sorensen. Larry, thanks so much for staying up late tonight.
Bernie, always a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks, pal. You know, with the Major League Baseball All-Star Game around the corner, I've always believed it's the most legit of the 4 All-Star Games because the only one where they actually play defense. I'd like to get your thoughts on the All-Star Game now, and I'll tell you why. Do the players in league still want to win as bad as in the past when you played, or is this just basically an exhibition? Because, you know, folks are going to bet on it here in Vegas.
Well, folks will bet on just about anything in Vegas. We know that.
True.
You know, they still do compete, and I think that the unique thing about baseball is the defensive plays make just as many headlines as the offensive plays. You know, you go to some of the other sports, and it's always when you're putting points on the board that it looks so great. But in baseball, you see the guy laying out for a catch, or you're making a play behind third base and throwing across the infield. It's just as spectacular as the guy that hits the home run. So, and then there's the individual pride factor with baseball. When it's you against the hitter or the hitter against the pitcher, it's a mano-a-mano thing. It's a little war. It's that one-on-one battle. And nobody wants to be embarrassed, Bernie. And there's 50,000 people in the stands, and there's millions of people watching on TV. And nobody wants to have their pants taken down in front of that many people. So you're out there with your pride on the line. You're competing. You're trying as hard as you possibly can to stop that opponent.
Pretty good Steve Lyons reference there, by the way. Can you imagine a Pete Rose, Ray Fosse collision today? You played in both leagues, the American and National, but there was no interleague play then. So you still feel today that pride factor exists? They really want to beat the opposing league?
Well, you mentioned I played in both leagues, and I think that's one of the reasons that there might not be quite as much competition as there used to be, because you don't have the pride in the league anymore. It's the league overall instead of American versus National. And it used to be a real big thing to have bragging rights. You know, yeah, the American League won the All-Star Game, or yeah, the National League won the All-Star Game. Players mix and match and move around so much now, I think we've lost some of that with interleague play, and so that's diminished just a little bit. And then the rules have changed, so no, we can't have a Fosse-type Pete Rose play at home anymore because you can't protect the plate, you can't block the plate, and so they've taken some of that element out of it. But the guys, when they're out there and it's their individual moments, when it's your 2 minutes at bat, and when you're the pitcher and now you only go one inning generally because of the relievers, you're trying just as hard as you can.
And I want to remind the audience that Larry pitched 3 full innings in the 78 All-Star Game, and I get the feeling if Billy Martin would have had his way to kept in 6 more innings, but I digress. Larry, reconcile.
Yeah, but when I didn't cover first base in time with Larry Bowa up, he had somebody warming up in the bullpen before I slowed down. So,
and then you retired the next 9 in a row.
Yeah.
All right, let's reconcile. This is the age-old argument. You played for a guy, Whitey Herzog, clearly ahead of his time. Analytics, metrics versus the human factor. Reconcile the two. Where does one pick off and the other leave in? And I guess for me, I realize that analytics and metrics, they're a guideline for me, not an inflexible anchor. Talk about it from your perspective.
Well, first of all, Whitey Herzog did with magic markers and a ruler what 2 guys and 2 computers do nowadays, just about. I mean, we used to laugh watching him on the plane as he was going through the charts after the game and putting lines on the sheets, but then it worked out for him because he knew exactly. And then he committed it to memory. and he knew exactly where to put everybody and how he wanted to play everybody and how he wanted to pitch everybody. You know, I think it's a trend for one. I think it's a phase that we're going through in baseball right now, and I think that people will adjust to it. Baseball is a game of adjustment more than anything else, and what goes around comes around. Things will change in time, and we'll see guys start to figure out, okay, I need to bunt in this situation to get on. They got three guys on the right side of the infield. We're down three. My run doesn't mean anything. I've got to get on base. And we'll see some of the tactics come back into play.
That's an excellent perspective. It's situational. I get what you're going with that. We're talking with Larry Sorensen, 10-year Major League Baseball veteran, pitched in one of the golden eras of baseball, 25-year veteran of the broadcast booth. You've heard him on ESPN, Detroit Tigers Radio Network, currently with Wake Forest Athletics. Larry, what the hell have they done to the baseball? Home runs are not just up, they're up 50%. I mean, you know, I want to grab a bat, and I can't even hit a four-seamer. What are they doing with the baseball?
Well, the distances are pretty amazing, too. You know, there's over a mile's worth of yarn, several different types of yarn, woven into the baseball, and every baseball is still hand-stitched, handmade. And in Winston-Salem, we're making a baseball that's an analytic tool. So I know a little bit about the analytic side. But they're individually made, and so there are some differences. They can be compressed. They can be wound tighter. They can be sewn tighter. I think a lot of what's going on right now, I think that the seams are getting lower because pitchers are throwing harder. They're making them more aerodynamic, so the ball is traveling through the air faster. But they're moving less. And I think that pitchers are so intent on the number, on the velocity, that's the number they really care about. They want to get as close to triple digits as they possibly can. So the ball is aerodynamically flying faster, but it means that it's going farther when guys catch up to it. And as the great Eddie Matthews used to say, he could time a jet airplane going through the strike zone if it was straight enough and he saw it often enough.
Right,
the guys
right.
catch up to it. Eventually they're going to adjust and they're going to catch up. And it's the distances that are really staggering. You know, when you start going over 500 feet, it's just mind-blowing.
Absolutely. You know, you brought up your analytics project, and I want to dive into that right now because you're in the middle of what I would consider to be a fairly revolutionary project that may change the way baseball prospects, particularly pitching prospects, go about improving and elevating themselves to a point where they might be noticed by a scout. Concept called Pitch Logic. I believe the website is pitchlogic.com. Talk about that, what the ball, what it does, how it benefits players, who needs it. Take the floor.
Well, we think that everybody needs it for every age, and we're involved with some major league organizations right now that are taking it from top to bottom inside their organization. Every single level will have a dozen or two of them around. But a fellow in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, came up with the concept of putting a circuit board inside the baseball with multiple processors that give you, there's a total of about 31 different metrics inside. Right now, it releases about 12 different metrics. And if you go to the App Store for either any kind of a smart device, you can find at F5 Sports, you can find the app and see what it looks like and check it out. So you go to the simple side and you go to the Youth of America, and it's got arm slot and spin direction. And arm slot is so important because that's where your consistency comes from. So it helps the youngsters. You go up to the major league level, and it's got the spin rates that everybody talks about, and it breaks it down three different ways, backspin, side spin, and rifle spin. And as you dive into the analytics of that, you learn which spin is important and what energy is being wasted when you're throwing the pitch. And you can see that on every single pitch, right on your smartphone, right next to you when you're on the mound throwing a bullpen. It's not a game device. It's not to be hit with a bat. It's strictly for using on the side, and it really is being used at all levels now of the game, and it's pretty exciting. It's something that's going to be really helpful for injuries. It's going to give baselines for young people. It's something that can be used across the board.
Talking with 10-year Major League Baseball veteran Larry Sorensen, the product Pitch Logic. You brought up something interesting, arm slot. I know that the great Cal McClish once said you had strikes built into your delivery. That's a great thing to have because if you can repeat that slot, especially for a young kid. So this is something new because I've been through the website. I strongly suggest people take a look at this, pitchlogic.com. So the spin on the ball and the data that it produces can actually indicate if a pitcher's slot is shifting, correct?
Well, there's actually a clock, what looks like a clock face, and it's numbered. And you can see with the yellow line where your arm slot is because since since everything is inside the baseball, it follows you from your moment of set all the way through your backward extension, all the way through your release point, and it shows what the baseball is doing. So it shows where the arm slot is in relation to a clock face. And what that really does is it shows a youngster how to be more consistent in that spot so that every pitch, and as you well know, Bernie, you want every pitch to look the same as much as you can. There's also a blue line that goes with it. If you line those two arrows up with your fastball, you're throwing a pretty good fastball at that point. And for the young kids, consistency is what you look for. I always tell, when I'm working with young teams, I always tell them when you're playing catch, don't go sidearm, don't go underneath when you're warming up. Get to the arm slot that you're going to use consistently. Pay attention to what you're doing so that you're going to do it right in the games. Because if you can't play catch when you're warming up, you won't make good throws during the games.
So in addition to gathering data that might tell a pitcher how he's progressing, I got to believe this prevents injuries as well, because it might find a flaw in your delivery, which creates a stress point or a biomechanical deficiency which the ball can pick up. Is that correct?
Absolutely right. And we actually were in a camp last week, and a major league player was on rehab down in the minor league camp. And, you know, he kept thinking that he was doing things right, and they were using our device, PitchLogic. And he said, well, I can't be opening up too fast. That's not right. And the pitching coach took the clock face over to him, and he said, look where your arm slot is. And it was over too far on the 12 o'clock side. And he said, yeah, I can't argue with that. So this is a major league guy with about 6 or 7 years worth of experience in the big league. Wow. That was using it. And, yeah, it was really something great for us to see.
Talking with Larry Sorensen, 10-year major league veteran, this product, PitchLogic. Larry, before we wrap it up, tell the folks how they can get a hold of you so they can get more information, or when they log onto the website, maybe give them a little quick tutorial where you want to guide them first so they can get the most information.
By now, that's where we want to drive you first. But besides
right.
that, there are explanations for each metric in each area, and it's pretty self-explanatory. I'm just Larry, L-A-R-Y, dot Sorensen, S-O-R-E-N-S-E-N, F5Sports.net. F5Sports.net.
F is in Frank, 5Sports. Okay, good.
You can send me a note or go look at the PitchLogic site. And it's something new. It's innovative. And, you know, we talked about injuries a little bit. It's something that the big league guys are going to use all the way down through the system, all the way down to the little league guys, and we'll start setting baselines as they progress. It'll be a scouting tool. It'll be a rehab tool. There's going to be an awful lot of great uses for this device.
All right, Larry, I really appreciate you coming on tonight and staying up. Larry's down in South Florida, so appreciate the effort, my man, and best of luck with the ball. And I can tell you that talking baseball with Larry Sorensen.
Bernie, do we have 60 seconds for me to tell my longest home run story?
Go ahead, Larry. You go ahead, buddy.
I'm in Montreal in 87, wrapping up my career. Dave Parker's the hitter. I turn a sinker away, strike one. He swings through another one, strike two. I think I'll try it again. Boom, straight away center field. I finally get back into the dugout. The telephone's ringing, and Buck Rogers is our manager, and he answers it, and he says, Larry, it's for you. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, one of my kids is sick. It's our bullpen coach, Ken Maka, later goes on to manage the A's. And Maka says on the phone, he says, Larry, I just thought you might want to know. I had time to see where the Cobra's ball landed, so I walked it off for you. It was 480. He said, I just thought you might want that information.
Well, that just shows you had a lot of velocity on your fastball, right? You supplied the power, right?
Must have been throwing hard that day.
Well, you know,
thanks for everything, Bernie.
Hang on, Larry. It's 20 seconds. I got to tell my favorite Larry Sorensen story. By the way, your Michigan Wolverines almost got it done. Larry was also an All Big Ten pitcher at Michigan in the mid 70s. Played in some great with Ricky Lee and some other players. But I love the story. I want to say were you with Montreal? Maybe it was around 87. And you faced Barry Larkin and got him out. Now, Barry was an All-American at Michigan and went on to play the Cincinnati Reds. So you saw him later in the hotel that night, and you went up and said, Hi, Barry, I'm Larry Sorensen. We both played University of Michigan. Barry goes, oh, nice to meet you, Larry. What are you doing now? I got you out today, Barry.
Yeah, opening day in Cincinnati.
And, do I have the team right? You with Montreal?
A couple innings.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was with Montreal.
All right, good stuff, Larry. Good luck with the baseball. I really enjoyed talking baseball with you. And I think you've got something here truly that's revolutionary. Back in the 70s, they laughed at the jug speed gun, and now can you imagine baseball without it? So,
now, it is unbelievable. Michigan, by the way, is the first team that we showed it to.
Cool. Well, hopefully Eric Backage and that group will do the right thing. All right. Thanks for joining us, Larry. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, Bernie.
That's Larry Sorensen, 10-year Major League veteran, 25-year veteran in the broadcast booth, radio airwaves. You heard him back in the day on ESPN, Detroit Tigers broadcast team, currently with Wake Forest Athletics. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Up next, we are going to make some semblance of order. Boy, is that botched up English or what? Of the Kawhi sweepstakes. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted to. Don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. What does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? Means you probably should have gone to Geico.com 15 minutes ago. Sleep, we are coming off what I believe was one of the most topsy-turvy, whirlwind, speculative weeks that I can remember the sports books ever having to go through. And now that the Kawhi sweepstakes are in, and over $3 billion was spent in the first 24 hours of NBA free agency, to give you some perspective on how nervous the books have been this week, tell the folks what happened last night.
Well, Bernie, immediately when that trade took place, I went and I checked all the books in Vegas. They took down the NBA championship odds. I think one of the reasons, Bernie, was they had to, you know, check their liability with the Clippers. But another thing, the reason I checked is because I wanted to make a bet. You know the sharp guys, when the big-time bookmakers are the guys who, you know, move the numbers and make things happen there. When they're out of the office, we're looking to take advantage. So those guys who were behind the counter, they said, let's just take them down and wait until everything gets figured out.
Look, this is speculative. This is one of those times where the books don't really have an edge. They don't know any more than the players. Go back to last Monday. The Lakers were plus 175. A bettor walks in to the Westgate, plunks down 10 grand on the Lakers, plus 175. Perhaps should have waited. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to say now. By the way, at that time, the Clippers were 16-1. And even when they were 16-1, the Westgate took exactly one bet of $10. One bet. Then the Jalen Rose thing comes out, the 99% Toronto thing, and everything starts flying all over the place. Let's fast forward. The Kawhi sweepstakes hit. The Clippers get him. The Clippers are now down to 3-1. By the way, you've got to account for Paul George, too. They don't just have Kawhi. They've got Paul George and a pretty darn good supporting cast, if you ask me. They beat Golden State twice on the road in the playoffs. The Lakers, they're back up to 5-1. What if the Lakers had gotten Kawhi? They would have been minus 200. The Toronto Raptors, well, that one percenter came in that Jalen Rose didn't count on. Toronto would have been 6-1 had they gotten Kawhi. Toronto gotten Kawhi. They're down to 20-1. By the way, the Lakers, if you want to bet them to not win next year, minus 175. And if DraftKings, they have an interesting prop. California, the state of California, so that's the Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. That's the Clippers, that's the Lakers, that's the Sacramento Kings versus the field. Take California, you get plus 115. Now, not every team rushed to spend money. And by the way, that brings us to our first cut of the night, having to do with James Harden. See, in this cut, RJ and the guys give perspective on Harden and his role with the Rockets. Does it give a clue as to the current alleged strife that's been reported in Houston? Let's take a listen.
So let's agree that Harden was in a situation where it didn't seem like he had a choice. Obviously, the team allowed it to happen, meaning the coach, the GM, Daryl Morey, etc. I think the idea he didn't have a choice, oh, shucks, I think he liked it.
Yeah.
Struck me. Doesn't change how impressive it was. It does bring up the point, though. Is it winning basketball? And we've often talked about this. Sometimes you decrease your chance to win now to increase your chance to win later. Now, maybe Houston was right. The optimal play was Harden doing what he did during that injury period of some other players. Chris Paul, most notably. But then the question is, how was that going to affect Houston later? Where the disgruntledness of some of the other players that were healthy, maybe carried over, and Harden got it in his brain. We always talk about reps. Oh, want to get good reps and all that stuff. In this case, maybe the reps were Harden just becoming so self-reliant, he couldn't shake that come the playoffs.
You know, not everybody rushed to spend a ton of money. And by the way, I think Harden's the most important player on the Rockets. He would have gotten my MVP vote. Perhaps the Rockets are too reliant on him, and that was their undoing. But let's take a team in the same state. I got a tweet from a gentleman named Joe Neves. I think he lives in San Antonio. He wanted to inquire about the Spurs. I talked about them last week and how there were some teams I highlighted to bet the over-under. I said, get on the under of Toronto now. I explained all the reasons why, and I think I'm going to be pressing on that. It's 53. Well, the Spurs total is about 45. Last week I talked about getting on the Spurs over. Here's why. And they stood pat. They didn't rush out. Greg Popovich, that group did not rush out to write a bunch of big checks. San Antonio has a culture that's proven. They stood pat. They've got a formula that's proven. Playoffs, what, Sleepy? 21 years in a row, something like that. Some outrageous number. Thanks to their leadership and their culture, they've got a situation where the whole clearly is better than the sum of their parts. I think the Spurs are a 49-50 win team next year, and they're going to be in the playoff mix, and they're going to be a tough out. And I'm not predicting them to go to the finals. I think they're more than 30-1. But you never know what can happen. Everybody talks about the balance of the power in the West. Well, two of the last 4 years, the Eastern team has won it. Cleveland in 2016 and then Toronto this year. So when you look at this entire group of teams, Milwaukee in the East, 6-1. Philadelphia, 8-1. And I think they got better with Josh Richardson and Al Horford. People say they don't have shooting, but they got length, they got size, and they got defense. And they know they really took Toronto to task. And you were out ahead of the game last year or these last few months on Philly. Kawhi hit that four bouncer that happened to go in, but a different bounce here, different bounce there. Philly could have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. Houston, I wouldn't go to sleep on them at 12-1. Golden State, they were their, you know, kryptonite, as it were. Mentally, they couldn't beat them. They beat them 4 to 5 times in the regular season, can't beat them in the playoffs. Utah got much better with Mike Conley, Bogdanovich. They're 12-1. Golden State, they're going to get Klay Thompson back in February. They've still got enough in their tank. They're 18-1. Denver, 25-1. Boston, can we really know? 25-1. Do we really know? Can you really say with great certainty that we know what's going to happen? Has it been proven? Can you really buy a championship? We don't know. The Clippers look awfully good with their duo. The Lakers are going to have a say. Although, I got to tell you, Sleepy, and I want your opinion. Would you put a plug nickel on the Lakers?
No.
I let Casey Anthony babysit my kids before I bet the Lakers. Did I just say that? Let's switch gears real quickly in a few seconds we have. USA versus Netherlands. Tomorrow, 8 a.m. Pacific time, the USA goes for another World Cup. They're minus 260 to win it. That's in regulation, plus injury time, minus 550 if you bet the game to win, regardless of whether or not it goes extra time and there's a shootout. Should be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a tight defensive game. Now, Sleepy did a heck of a lot of work this past week because I saw Zion Williamson last night, and believe me, when he took the floor and there was a standing ovation, this is a guy who's going to move the needle, not just on the floor and with the fans, but with that age-old product that everybody has to buy to put on their feet, and we are going to talk about that on the other side. But first, let's go to Brian Finley with the latest.
Thank you so much, Bernie. John Jones retains the UFC light heavyweight title in one of his more mundane performances. He won by a split decision against Thiago Santos. In the welterweight division, Jorge Masvidal recorded the fastest knockout in UFC history. His flying knee KO'd Ben Askren after 5 seconds to take the title. How emasculating. On the baseball front, Austin Slater props up the Giants with a grand slam as San Francisco cons the Cardinals 8-4. The Diamondbacks get past the Rangers 4-2. Arizona outhit Texas 13-5. The Padres buffooned the Dodgers 3-1. San Diego's Manuel Margot booming a two-run home run in the eighth inning. LA has a rare two-game losing streak, San Diego can more than relate to that. The Mariners saw off the A's 6-3. The washed-up Kyle Seager tacked on a two-run home run to end a 0-for-21 slump. Hey, online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car, so visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Max Scherzer sat down 11 batters, went 7 scoreless innings as the Nationals barbecue the Royals 6-0. And as Bernie mentioned, the United States women's soccer team going head-to-head with Netherlands in the World Cup final. That is Sunday, 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox TV. Back to Bernie Fratto.
Brian, quick question. Will you buy a new pair of the Zion shoes when he gets his contract?
Look, Bernie, I'm not really a sneakerhead. You're talking to a guy who wears socks with his sandals, but I constantly get made fun of for wearing New Balance. And honestly, a lot of times it's a deal breaker to many when I go out on dates because I'm wearing New Balance. But you know what they say, Bernie? Don't give in to peer pressure.
I'm going to take that as a no, Brian, a man of principle. Let's go to my man, Ryan Bershinger. By the way, Ryan, how was your fourth?
It was nice. I was working the overnights here with Ben Maller and Outkick, so I had to sleep a bit during the day, but at night got to spend some time with family.
Still had some fun, right? Everything was good. No Jason Pierre-Paul incidents or anything like that.
Nope. I was safe.
Did I ever tell you I met Jason Pierre-Paul?
No, you didn't.
Really cool guy. You gave me like a high three and everything. It was really cool. Really kind of a cool moment. But I digress. Ryan, were you going to buy a pair of shoes of Zion shoes?
You know, like Brian, I'm not much of a sneakerhead either, so I will not be. I was considering getting some new Kawhis, but that ship has sailed. So.
Okay. 0-for-2.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be okay. And that sort of segues into a project we're going to devote the rest of the show on that I think you're going to find very interesting. But let me set this up with another rousing edition of Inside the Fratto House. Wait, the kids alert the neighbors. Grandpa put on pants. Here we go. You know, there's an old joke about two shoe salesmen. They were dropped in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, and their job was to market shoes to the natives. Now, one of the salesmen was a pessimist, and the other was an optimist. And within 5 minutes of arriving, both called back to their home office to speak to their bosses. The pessimist said, "Boss, get me the hell out of here. Every single person is running around barefoot. No one wants shoes." The optimist said, "Boss, you better ship me 10 more cases of shoes. The people here are all barefoot. Everybody needs shoes." See, the optimist wasn't wrong. In fact, in the last 25 years, having a major star athlete associated with your shoe brand has proved to be a winning parlay. And it's more than just shoes. It's about branding, image, name recognition, notoriety, fame, and ultimately intoxicating profits for all involved. Now, the concept of a major brand partnering with a famous athlete, it's not new. It started in the 50s when a visionary by the name of Mark McCormick partnered top golfers with name brands of household products like toothpaste and shaving razors. It was a match made in heaven. The product managers, they loved having their brand associated with top-flight golfers, and the golfers loved endorsing products while supplementing their income in a big way. See, before Mark McCormick, athletes who made appearances in television commercials, they were customarily rewarded with watches or supplies or products or small amounts of money. Starting with golfer Arnold Palmer, McCormick changed that. McCormick helped Palmer become golf's first television celebrity athlete, maximizing his natural charisma and popularity. Arnold Palmer, and his first full-time client saw his annual income of $50,000 rise to $500,000 within 3 years, eventually more to $10 million. So this concept, he continued to grow and flourish until it reached the stratosphere at the turn of the millennium. McCormick's company, IMG, he negotiated Tiger Woods' 5-year endorsement contract with Nike in 2000 for $100 million, along with Derek Jeter's 10-year deal with the Yankees for $189 million. Today, the stakes are even higher. So tonight, we're going to take a deep dive into who's next and how it'll affect the sport, the sponsor, the athlete, even the stock market. Tonight, we examine the future good fortune of a young man folks have come to know and love in a short time, and I will talk to him this week at the NBA Summer League. Of course, we're talking about former Duke star, number one draft choice of the New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson. Now, Sleepy broke down this into four parts. Which shoe company, who will Zion sign with? What will the dollar amount be for Zion's shoe contract? It seems like a distant memory. Remember when his shoe got a flat tire in that game with Duke back in February? And finally, and don't poo-poo this, we might even project how the stock market will react, because it will, after Zion signs his shoe contract. But let's start with number one. Shoe contracts, they date back to Magic, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. They've really grown over the years, and this Zion contract should be the biggest ever. You know, Magic had Converse, Jordan had Nike, Curry has Under Armour, Kawhi has New Balance, so everybody's in the game. What did these contracts look like going back to Magic to today with Kevin Durant? Sleepy, you are a handicapper and a good one. Where does Zion end up?
Bernie, what I had to do was I really wanted to go back to when sneaker contracts really became a big thing. And with Magic Johnson, there was just no information. So I'm like, okay, let's go to the next guy. Let's go to Jordan. I looked at Jordan. Bernie, 5 years, $500,000. He had some stock options. And then the next guy was LeBron James. This was in 2003, Bernie. He signed a 7-year, like $87 million deal. Kevin Durant, 2007, $60 million deal. How about Steph Curry? Like 2015, Bernie, he actually had in his contract that he had some type of ownership with Under Armour. James Harden, 2015, signed around a $200 million contract. So, Bernie, as you know, with the player contracts per what they play, you know, the contracts, you know, they've gone up year after year after year. And the same thing with the shoe contracts have gone up year after year after year. So I have a projection on what I think Zion's going to eventually make just based off of what I've seen move with the shoe contracts over all those years.
All right. Now, the second part of this, you brought up before the show, and you're right. We don't see a lot of shoe commercials anymore like we used to, you know, with Spike Lee and Mars Blackman and all that kind of stuff. You see a lot of social media. That's got the impact with endorsement deals. How powerful has Instagram and Twitter been? LeBron, Harden, Serena Williams. I mean, Serena has over 21 million followers. Social media is huge. So how these are marketed will be the big thing as well. And Sleepy brought up a good point for the show. I had forgotten about the shoe blowout. Back in February, he went to Stop and Pivot, and he basically got a flat tire. How might that affect Zion? I actually think it helps the shoe company, because there's almost no way that you can bring in a new shoe contract without referencing that and the importance of the shoes you wear, and plus given the fact, I saw Zion. He's 285 pounds, man. He's got to play 82 games. He's got to stop and start against the best athletes in the world. When we come back, we're going to speculate about how much he gets, the stock market, and a bunch of other good stuff. We'll even take you back in time. You're going to get to hear a really interesting interview that Magic had with a current celebrity still working today. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And I want to remind you folks that Straight Outta Vegas is brought to you by Discover. Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. I also want to thank my broadcast team back in Los Angeles, Ryan Bershinger, Chris Perfett, and Brian Finley. Great job as always, guys, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. Thanks to you, we are on the air. And, of course, let's not forget our on-site jack-of-all-trades, Sleepy, former U.S. Marine, instrumental in putting together all this information about the Zion shoe contract. In a minute, we're going to talk about who we think he signs with, how much he gets, and, by the way, don't poo-poo this, it will affect the stock market as it has in the past. We have data. Now, Sleepy was able to find a really interesting cut. Basketball player, you may have heard of this guy. He's been in the news a lot lately. A guy by the name of Magic Johnson. He went on Ellen DeGeneres' show, and he talked about how back in the day, if he could do one thing different, what he might do. Let's give it a listen.
You've done very well business-wise. I mean, very, very well. Is there something that you missed out on that you think, why didn't I do that?
Yes, man, it still haunts me today, Ellen, I tell you. When I first came out of college, all the shoe companies came after me. And it was this guy named Phil Knight, who just had started Nike. All the other companies offered me money, but they couldn't offer me money because they just started. So he said something, stocks. I'm going to give you a lot of stocks. I didn't know nothing about stocks. I'm from the inner city. We don't know about stocks, you know, at that time. Boy, did I make a mistake.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm still kicking myself. Every time I'm in a Nike store, I get mad, right?
Yeah. Like,
I could have been making money off of everybody buying Nikes right now.
Oh, man.
So,
yeah, but you, unless you have somebody really explaining that to you. And who knew that Nike was going to be what Nike is?
Yeah, yeah.
But, man.
Thanks. You didn't make me feel better.
Yeah.
Well, Magic, I think, has done pretty well for himself. And I was there as an intern at the Forum his rookie year, 9 finals in 12 years, and he's made a shekel or two. But to his point, Sleepy, and you've highlighted this tonight, this is really big business that transcends the game itself, and it's about branding and imaging and intoxicating profits. So let's flip the cards. Let's look into the future. Sleepy, look into your crystal ball. Which shoe company does Zion sign with? How much do you think he's going to get? And last but not least, look, whichever company signs him, they're going to move the needle, and that means stock price.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of the biggest movers in, for the shoe companies, probably of all time, Bernie. Bernie, I think the shoe blowout is one thing that you have to take a look at. That hurt Nike, obviously. It cost them billions of dollars. I think that they have to come in with an offer that is just way, way over the top. You talked about social media. You know, one of the things with social media, Bernie, is it's just not athletes. It's other people. It's people like Drake, Cardi B. They're signed to Nike. Why? Because they're on social media. And I think Zion's going to have a big presence on social media. LeBron already does. And another thing that you have to take into consideration is Master P, he's a rapper from New Orleans. He offered Zion Williamson like $20 million, and that was just to wear his product on social media. So I think that that's one thing that you have to take into consideration. The shoe blowout is another thing. I did so much work in this, Bernie. I think one of the big things is when we get to the stock market, one of the things that Zion can bring to the table is when the stock was set the day before, you know, his shoe blew out, it was set around like $83, $84. The day after the blowout, it went down a lot. But when Zion came back, it was probably the biggest market move with Reebok, New Balance, any of these shoe companies. The market just moved so much, Bernie. It was in the terms of billions of dollars. And after all everything I looked at, Bernie, with the stock market, the social media, the shoe blowout incident, I hear a lot of people saying $100 million. This is just my personal opinion, Bernie. If I were Zion Williamson, I think $125 million would be like my minimum. I would not be shocked if somebody like Nike, Bernie, offered $150, $160 million to just tell Adidas and New Balance and Under Armour, you are not in the same league as we are. We cannot let you go ahead and take this guy.
I think you're spot on. I think it's going to be Nike. Look at the most recent newbies, Steph Curry, Under Armour. Kawhi has New Balance. Nike's got to jump back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I remember being in Dallas talking to a businessman in 1997 when Tiger got his $60 million deal with Nike. And this gentleman told me Nike got a bargain. They did. Tiger paid that back 10 times over. So fast forward 20 years, $100, $150 million, that might be a drop in the bucket for Nike. When I saw how the crowd reacted to Zion last night, It's clear. And you bring up a really good point. Sneakers today, they're like the Star Wars figures were in the 70s or Garbage Pail Kids collection of the 80s. Beanie Babies, Pokemon cards. Shoes are now collectibles. You don't just wear them. They're status symbols. What happens to the stock when Zion is partnered with Nike?
I think it's just going to go through the roof, Bernie. I have a feeling that you're going to see the stock probably move in maybe a $4 or $5 move, which is, you know, it's about half. It's about half as much as what it was when it lost, if that makes much sense.
We're going to revisit this topic after he gets the deal, but we've got to get to everybody's favorite part of the show, and that is best bets. I'll start, Sleepy. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific, I like the under in the women's soccer game versus Netherlands, 2.5 minus 105. Both teams giving up cumulatively 6 goals. I think they start slow. Both teams feel each other out before they get going, and I think it's going to be a hard-fought battle. I like the under.
I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to throw a real curveball at everybody here tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, Birdie, Daytona, the Coca-Cola. I think it's the Coca-Cola 400. I got some reports that Eric Almirola looked really strong throughout the entire week going into the actual race today. It was postponed for today. It'll be rescheduled for tomorrow. I like him. He's about 18-1, Bernie, so I'm going to go ahead and give out a long shot. NASCAR race for tomorrow.
Why not?
Eric Almirola.
Well, you gave out a long shot at the Masters, and it came in, and you came right back with the PGA. By the way, tease look ahead next week. We'll be talking about the Open. They used to call it the British Open. It's the final of the four majors. We'll have a little bit of a breakdown on that next week. I've actually got a bonus best bet. Obviously, much has been made about the World Cup, and it should be. But how about the Gold Cup? How about the U.S. men? Mm-hmm. They've done a hell of a job after not qualifying for the World Cup last time around. They now find themselves in the final of the Gold Cup tomorrow against their nemesis, Mexico, who's beaten them four of the last five times. Currently, the value is on Mexico. They're minus 105. Sorry, guys. Got to call them as I see them. I like Mexico to beat the USA men tomorrow in the Gold Cup. Folks, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Straight Out of Vegas. I'm Bernie Fratto. He's sleepy. Next up, the man from Nashville. He brings it strong. It's time for Jason Martin and the Jason Martin Show. Stay tuned.
Straight Out of Vegas!